אנחנו קוראים בספר הזוהר, פרשת וישלח, בעמוד 38, מאמר עודי השם בכל לבב. ניתן לשאול שאלות באתר קבלה לעם, kab.sion.il.
וכרגיל, לפני שנתחיל, כל המקובלים לקריאה הספר הזוהר, לפתוח את הזוהר, אנחנו זוכרים על כמה כללים,
איך דרך. We remember a few rules, how to focus ourselves, that is the... That it doesn't speak about this word in a single word. It doesn't speak about this sublime word high and outside of us. Rather, everything is happening inside our soul. It's called our desire in each and every one of us. It exists in a more revealed or less revealed way. The desire to transcend beyond the degree of man in this world, higher than this life. So if I develop that desire by reading the book of Zohar, there I feel what the Zohar is about to tell me. Therefore, everything that is happening in me. And this is what I have to hope for, that it will open up for me and I will feel what the Zohar is talking about, which discernments, which observation, all in all we're talking about, the will to receive, will to bestow, these two desires, they come from the Creator, and a person has to reveal them and work with them correctly. So this is basically what we have to do. This is the whole nature within us. I shall be grateful to the Lord. Item Reish Samer Zayin 267. King David, his whole days was dealing with the work of the Creator. King David is against Malchut, the generality of all souls. Therefore, by nature, his nature, he did the work for everyone. And he rose at midnight and he praised the Lord in songs and praise in order to correct his place in Malchut above. Midnight, this is a special situation in man who discovers that he's in darkness, but he already begins from that moment, from the half of that darkness and onward, to find the forces in order to correct his attitude to darkness in such a way that instead of darkness he will feel light. There is no light and darkness in spirituality except for man's attitude, who treats from his will to receive and transfers to the will to bestow, to his attitude towards reality. So he switches his sight from darkness to light. 268. And when a northern wind awoke at midnight, he knew that then the Creator was awakening to amuse himself with the righteous in the Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden is the quality of Bina, we know it, the Creator. It's either Zeranpin of Atzilut or Arichanpin, it depends what are we talking about, the force that bestows. So the Creator is awakening at midnight, meaning that force from above, the force of bestowal, is awakening in the quality of Bina in Garden of Eden, playing with the souls of the righteous, same desires of man. Each one of us can come to it with his desire, if it is like the desire of Bina, and then he can transcend to that degree called Garden of Eden, Malchut connected to Bina. Then that situation, that degree, is called to play around with the righteous. This is why he would rise at that time. Raise. It's not that he wakes up from bed, rather he's elevated and prevail in song and praise until the morning came, because we have nature forces, and if they're small, it means that our degree is laying down. If we have greater forces of overcoming, so this is sitting down, and greater, this is raising a whole degree. So we're talking only about degrees, situations in man's desire towards the correction. Item 269. When the Creator is in the Garden of Eden, all the righteous in the garden listen to his voice. Moreover, a thread of grace is drawn upon him in the day. As it is written, by day the Lord will command his loving kindness, and in the night his song shall be with me. Also, all those words of Torah that he had said at night, rise and crown before the Creator. And this is why King David engaged in the work of his master during the night. We go through many situations in the state of night, which is called concealment. Even now, we are in the steps of concealment, which is called the time of preparation, double concealment, ordinary concealment, and then we're called wicked because we cannot justify the Creator, because everything depends on our desire, our uncorrected desire, when we still treat our whole reality in an egoistic way. By this we feel darkness in spirituality, because spirituality is completely in order to bestow. I'm looking at those things and I see that this is darkness. There's darkness in my eyes because I don't want to bestow yet. I'm still in order to receive, and therefore it is night. But if man is working at night, meaning overcoming these obstacles, he knows that this is his nature. I have created the evil inclination, I have created the Torah as a spice. The Creator arranged everything for him like this deliberately, for him to put the effort to make an exertion, and by his efforts then we are rewarded to transcend to the full degree, and by the exertion we begin to connect the systems by ourselves, systems of darkness and light together, in order to govern them, to know what the Creator did, and this way we will be able to govern nature, the system of providence, instead of the Creator. And then this whole work at night, although we don't really want it so much, and it is against my desire, and I don't quite understand what I'm doing and why and how, but precisely that effort, it's like a baby making an effort. He doesn't know what, but he wants to understand the world, to know everything, and as a result we grow. So we grow precisely from the work at nights. 270. Of all the songs and praises that David said, the highest of all is Hallelujah. This is because it includes both name and praise. And what are name and praise? The name is Yud Kei, and the praise is the Assembly of Israel, the Nukva, called praise. This is so because she always praises the Creator and never rests. As it is written, O God, keep not thou silence. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. It is so because she establishes the order of the praise and always praises him. So we're talking about Malchut of Atzilut, where all of our souls are, always. We say that they're seemingly in Bia, separated under the Parsa. That is meant to emphasize where they are, but also in Bia, the nine bottom of Malchut of Atzilut, they are below in Bia. And therefore, we might say that we are always in our desires, either corrected or not corrected in Malchut of Atzilut, which is called Shekhinah, divinity, or in a state of divinity in exile, Shekhinta Begaluta, meaning the divinity is in exile, exile from her connection with the Creator, with the Anpin, with the Blessed He. Because we, the components of the divinity of Malchut, we comprise it from our desires, our corrupted desires, and to the extent that we, against that nature, against that initial state work, in order to connect between us, to be as one person with one heart, So as a result of these efforts, we resurrect Malchut and return from the exalt into redemption, and we give Malchut such desires, such observations, that it can resemble Zera Anpin of Atzilut, and by this we make Malchut and Bin and Zera Anpin to couple between Kodesh Baruch Hu and the divinity, the creator and the divinity. And that work is done especially at night, in darkness, in a state where we feel spirituality as opposite to us. This is why the name and praise are implied in the word Hallelujah, together. For the name is Yud-Kei, and the praise is His praise, divinity, which always praises Him. 271. I will give thanks unto the Lord with my whole heart, with the good inclination and with the evil inclination. We have two forms in the will to receive. The Creator created the will to receive to begin with as a point of from absence, only that point. And next, this will to receive starts developing by the light, and the light brings the will to receive in order to bestow, as is the nature of the light. He gives the will to receive the ability to be above his desire with the intentions of bestowal, and then breaks it. That intention in order to bestow, and gives the will to receive the opposite form. In order to receive, and then the will to receive appears in the creation in these two forms, a will which is completely from zero to ends of infinite in order to bestow, and from zero to ends of infinite in order to receive. And the human is in between these two systems. One made these two systems, one versus the other. And our soul is in between these two forces, these two systems. And we have to choose then which system we want to belong to, under which system we want to stabilize ourselves, position ourselves, and how to carry on. So here is man's free choice, who always have to locate, to begin with, the place for free choice and then to realize it. Therefore, the good and evil inclinations, this is the revelation of the good and evil inclination that man has, who feels that it is ahead of him and he is in the middle, in between them. And that is the beginning of his spiritual path. He consciously begins to pace the step of ascension, but before he is in what is called the state of preparation, time of preparation, he still forms all kinds of knowledge, discernments. He prepares himself to those things, like we differentiate in kids. Again, we have to take an example from there, because our world is a replica from spirituality, and what exists in our world, it all comes from spirituality. Therefore, we can take an example from it. So like kids, the babies, there is a time when they simply exist. They don't know why and what, and their entire existence depends only on those who nourish them, until they begin to be more and more, feel themselves more, to demand, to cry, to do things, somehow to arrange their environment, etc., to get to know it. And here a little human begins, a little man, then a child and a teenage. So these exact same steps we have in the growth of the soul. And the beginning of the right path, meaning the signs of adolescence that a person discovers, reveals before him, it's the good and evil inclination. Somehow he can locate them, and is begin to be taught what is the place of freedom of choice, that it is not the evil inclination, not the good inclination, what we are a result of the right choice. And this is the image of human. We have to be looted from using these two opposite forces the correct way. This is because they both exist within men, as it is written, with all From the beginning, I will give thanks unto the Lord with my whole heart, with the good inclination and with the evil inclination. This is because they both exist within men, as it is written, with all thy heart, for the good inclination dwells in right hemorrhage of the heart, and the evil inclination it is left hemorrhage. Heart means men's desires, and they're divided to the right side.
There's no preference of the right over the left. It's just acceptable in the wisdom of Kabbalah that the right is giving and the left is receiving. So this is why we divide it to the left and right side of the heart, or the good heart and the bad heart. And it refers to the two inclinations that exist in us. And we're not talking about the desire itself. The desire itself is never good nor bad. We're only talking about how we use it. We also have to get used to understand that man's desire is not good or bad. It's only how we use it, the use of it. And not just how we use it simply, but how we use it towards the others, towards other humans, meaning not my desire on the still level, on the vegetative level, on the animate level. All those desires are neither good nor bad. I may have all kinds of desires within me. If they don't belong to my attitude to others, then it's not the desire that I need to correct. The correction happens only in the connection with the others, where the breaking took place, where the disintegration, division, separation happened between the souls, in the relation between them, where what we call ego is present. And the ego is always an attitude towards another individual. When I want something good for me, on the account of something bad for the others, I always measure myself towards the others and the values of the others. And that's how I measure everything. So if I intend towards others, it is called the good intents for the others, then it's called good inclination and vice versa. So there are many discernments here, but everything is towards the others. So the Book of Zohar always precisely, accurately aims us to what we should pay attention to. So there is a good inclination and a bad inclination, correct. Towards whom? Towards the others only, those that are like you. And not our relation to nature. For instance, like trying to fix the ecology or the vegetative world or the inanimate world, we see that it's impossible. The correction only exists on the level of man, the relation between people. By that, we can correct all the other degrees. That's what the wisdom of Kabbalah says. Because all those levels of the will to receive, they all support the speaking level, and they rise or descend along with that level of the will to receive in us. So, the good inclination or the bad inclination is only my attitude to others. And by both, I exist. Probably, there's also a good inclination within me, although I don't really detect it. Item 272. Israel are straight, since all the degrees are crowned in them. Priests, Levites, righteous, and adherent, because they are straight. And the evidence is that the Creator crowns Himself in them. The nature of the midnight zivug is primarily to extend chokhmah. And the nature of the daytime zivug is primarily to extend chasadim. Without them, the chokhmah in the nukva does not shine, and she is darkness and not light. And Zeranpin, too, is not crowned in illumination of Chokhmah except through the Nukva, during the night time Zivug. I will give thanks unto the Lord with my whole heart, explains these two illuminations and Zohn's completion from each other. So, we should use the whole gamut of things within man. And like we see with an embryo, when it is born, it has all the organs and tendons, all the parts it needs, although it doesn't use part of them. It doesn't use the legs for perhaps the first year or so. And yet, they exist and they grow and so on. So, we need to advance with the whole gamut of our desires, all that we have, and divide them correctly and give an answer and a place for every desire and for every quality. How can we do that? What, everyone should be a psychologist and a philosopher and a doctor and a scientist and whatnot? No. Rather, a person who is drawn by the society, by the guidelines that Kabbalists give us, he draws the light that reforms, and that light corrects him. In order to correct ourselves, we don't need to know what's being corrected within us. It's like a baby that grows. Does it know what's happening to it? Even we don't know what's happening to us when we take medicine, or when we eat, or when we drink, and how our body works with all that. We don't know. Same thing with Kabbalists. In the spiritual world too, we don't know exactly how the spiritual substances disintegrate and how each and every cell grows and how they all interconnect and exchange materials and take out the waste and so on. We don't understand any of that, and we don't need to. We are just given the guidelines. Like in our world, you need to eat, you need to drink, you need to maintain yourself, and so on. Some of these things are done instinctively. Some of them we are taught. Same thing in spirituality. By studying the rules or the guidelines, nature itself works, develops us, and we evolve. Because there are many questions like, how can I advance if I don't feel, if I don't know exactly and research what to twist and tweak and turn? It's just like in our world. Always take an example from that. Same thing in spirituality. You have to draw the light that reforms. Take that food and you'll grow. How? When you'll be an adult, you'll understand. There are 14 good times and there are 14 bad times. It is impossible to serve the Creator only on those days when the 14 good times govern, and not on the days when the 14 bad times govern. But one who is rewarded with the illumination of Chokhmah corrects the 14 bad times along with them, and they become great merits for him. And then he can serve the Creator in all his days, missing none of them. We learn with you that first, after the preparation time that we go through, where we clarify our evil inclination, and we see that we are comprised of transgressions and mistakes. This is the time of preparation, the single and double concealment, when we reveal that our entire nature is evil. And we examine that and see that towards the others through the work in the group, as the Zohar says, the friends unite, and at first they discover hatred between them. The more a person yearns for spirituality, the light shines on him and shows him the true, the real nature of man, which is evil. And a person feels that he entirely is comprised of the evil nature. And this is why it is said, I created the evil inclination, and the Torah is a spice for it. Because you cannot demand the Torah before you are included with the evil inclination and determines that it's evil. As opposed to the goal that you really desire to attain, and that is the only thing that disturbs you, and then you relate to it as evil, as if it is your enemy. And then a person reaches a state where he does receive the force from above to freeze and restrict the evil within him, and on top of the evil, build the good attitude to bestow to the upper force, the force of giving. And when he acquires the force of giving, and that's called bestowing in order to bestow, the quality of Bina, then he goes back and starts correcting the evil inclination he discovered before. So therefore, there are good times and bad times, and later he corrects the bad times too, so they become good as well. This is why it is written that even on the days when the 14 bad times governed, David would rise at midnight, meaning at the greatest desires, those that don't let you rise, that erase the importance of spiritual development, yet a person finds the strength to rise, and that is called the force of David working within him, which is the time for receiving those mochin of illumination of chokhmah, and praise and thank, out of darkness. Meaning he doesn't just utter something with his mouth, like we see and hear people praying. You know, they open a book and let's go. Whatever is written there. No, a person achieves such corrections that truly make him feel in his heart, despite the darkness, which he justifies and understands why he is in it. He knows why it was given to him, and he wants that darkness to happen that way, so that based on that darkness, he will actually be able to reach the importance of bestowal. And that is why he has great happiness and he praises and thanks at the night. It is so because these illuminations of Mochin are drawn by songs and praises, which are considered illumination of the left. We have the illumination of the left and the illumination of the right. The left is the vessels of reception. Correspondingly, the light of Chokhmah is drawn. The right is the vessels of bestowal, and correspondingly, the light of Chassadim is drawn. And that's how we work. So the night is really a lot of light. We just don't have the ability to see it. The light is not perceived in our vessels because they're opposite to the light. And day in spirituality means that we have some equivalence with the light, some measure of bestowal. And then to the extent of bestowal that we have, we are able to see the light. Say, I am in darkness. Everything's bad. I only want to receive. I can't think about bestowal at all, about connection with others, love of others, none of that. And then I feel that spirituality, what I'm told about connection with the others and resembling the Creator, I feel all of that as darkness. And when I nevertheless begin to read and overcome these states, so as to advance towards the spiritual recognition as the important thing, the great thing that is desirable, the light changes my attitude to bestowal, my attitude to it. And then gradually I change my attitude to bestowal. And then I have some change of attitude, and then I find a bit of light in the darkness. Meaning, I am the one who awakens my senses to see the light in that light of Chokhmah that completely surrounded me. And that's how I increasingly overcome and correct myself more and more until there is sun, and then it's the middle of the day, meaning I correct my vessels further and further until I see daylight. And then my force weakens. I cannot overcome anymore. New vessels emerge, new desires, which I can't overcome. Why? Because I haven't prepared myself for them at night. So, although I continue with the same motivation to bestow, to look at bestowal as a good thing, but the desires are already new, they increase, and I'm weakened and weakened. The sun starts setting down, the light is turned off, and the evening begins. Evening from the word erev, and I begin to mix, le'arbev, from the same word, between light and darkness until the darkness completely prevails. So I continue with this cycle. I'm not awakening the dawn, as David says, and which is when I want to enter the darkness, and I want, in order to connect all those corrections to the next day and so on. That's how we advance in spirituality. So what does it mean? If I will not change my attitude to bestowal, I will not advance even in a moment, in a second. Because in spirituality, I activate motion, change from day to night and night to day. Yud Hei are Mochin of Zeranpin, light of Chasadim. And the praise is Nukva, in Mochin of illumination of Chokhmah, both on the 14 good times and on the 14 bad times. However, it is impossible to always praise in Mochin of light of Chasadim, since on the 14 bad times there is no praise except through illumination of Chokhmah. Hence, I will give thanks unto the Lord with my whole heart, with the good inclination and with the evil inclination, with the right line, the good inclination, from which the 14 good times come, and in the left line, the evil inclination, from which the 14 bad times come. As we said, when one comes to such a state where even the bad times, all the evil inclination, isn't just frozen as the left line, and then you acquire the right line, the quality of bestowal, the light of Chasadim, but you also draw the left into there. So then the bad times join the good times too. In the council of the upright, which is the middle line containing the two lines within it, and hence including all the degrees, because that's how a person advances. First, he needs to enter the right, to absorb the strength, motivation, forces, support from the right side, from the group, from the study, from dissemination, from all of that. And only then enter the left, because otherwise he has no strength to somehow cope with the egoistic forces in him. So then he takes something of the left, as much as he can, and he knows that he needs to be very cautious so that these egoistic forces will not drag him, draw him to the goals he was running after, but just to take a little bit and keep advancing, meaning to always cling to the right, to Chasadim, to the right side, and as much as you can, what you're certain of, you can drag something, pull something from the left into there. and this work of joining as much as you can from the left to the right, that work is called working in the middle line. The middle line is not 50-50. When I take a half of that and half of that and mix it up, or 100% of this and 100% of that, and that's it. No. A person clarifies as much as he can. He becomes included with the right as much as possible, to the fullest. Then, very cautiously, he joins the left as much as he can. And we know how much. Kabbalists write that it's just a thin line out of the entire space that you can receive. It's only a thin line. So look how much forces of bestowal you could add to the forces of reception, you could add to the forces of bestowal. So it's not 50-50, it's just a little bit of the left that joins the right, and that's how the middle line is established. But a person realizes himself as much as he can. It doesn't matter. That's the 100% I can do. You can't do more than that. That's it. That's the maximum you can do. We're not demanding any common person to be strong like a horse or like a machine, right? So the same thing, just according to the level of development, to the level of growth, and so on. Because this is how we have to achieve the right relation between all the souls. If every soul works with the middle line as much as it can, only as much as it can, it will be the harmonious, perfect operation of the entire body that is made up of all the souls. Because in our bodies too, there are many systems that seem contradicting. The breathing in and out, plus and minus substances that exchange and so on, everything is working by opposition. There's always a contracting force and an expanding force. Baal Shalom explains that in what article? Yeah, in the Nation. So it's very important. In spirituality too. Don't think that you're taking like 50 kilos that you have on the left and you take only 10 kilos. It doesn't matter. This is probably the right combination so as to continue forward. And that is called a thin line. And that line is just the 10 grams you were able to take from the left. And you don't need more. That is your optimum participation and correct participation in the entire system. So don't make calculations the way we're used to in our world. Rather, to go straight means that I go do as much as I can, joining the left to support the right. And this is what is called the middle line, always tends to the right. The council of the upright and in the congregation. The congregation is the nukva. Upright and in the congregation is Zon, since upright are Israel, Zeranpin. The truth is that it's not straight, the middle line. It is crooked. We can't rise in a straight way. If it was straight, if Zeranpin would connect us directly, then we would rise to Chokhmah. Instead, we rise to Bina, diagonally. It's like, say, you put a ladder, right? Say there's a stairwell, and this is how you go through the five worlds, this way. And that is what's called the thin line. How we always choose to advance with what Zeranpin structure is for us. It basically gives us an example how to resemble it every time. And the example is very cautious each time. And it's very minimal, small, za'ir. This is why it's called za'anpin. And this is how we acquire our resemblance to the Creator, by those degrees. And the text tells us that the Creator, Zeranpin, is crowned with illumination of Chokhmah from the Nukva, called congregation. Since it does not receive Chokhmah, but only during the Zivug with the Nukva. This is why it is written, upright and in the congregation. 273. For this reason, one needs to always praise the Creator, because he desires songs and praises, as if the Creator needs the songs and praises. This is obvious. This is only indicating my inner state, that I praise and appreciate and extol the quality of bestowal. The Creator is the quality of bestowal. It is the inclusive general force of bestowal. It's not any personality, as we were used to think about it, probably. It is the quality of bestowal. When I appreciate that, when that is great to me, that is called praising the Creator. It is said that the Torah speaks in man's language. So it sounds like I need to praise him and thank him and so on. It's all talking about man that faces the quality of reception and bestowal in creation. There's nothing else. And then man chooses where he is, how he relates to that. For he wishes to be crowned. For this reason, one needs to always praise the Creator, because he desires songs and praises. For he wishes to be crowned in Chokhmah. And one who knows how to always praise the Creator, which is done through the mochin of illumination of Chokhmah, the Creator receives his prayer and saves him. First, a nighttime zivug is required, and then a daytime zivug for extension of chasadim during the morning prayer. Well, we're studying these things in a very, very detailed way and in depth in Talmud Esra Sefirot, how it is outlined in the chapter 12, the hours of the day, the hours of the night, how we go through these times during the night and the day until a person corrects his vessels. And this is how we achieve the correction of the soul. Obviously, there is no connection with what's happening in this world. Not the day or night we know, not the states that man goes through in his common earthly life. Everything is on the spiritual level. Questions, please.
I heard you saying that there is no preference between the right to the left, that there is no preference between them. This is what I heard you saying. It's wrong, so continue. I said that the middle line tends to the right, and I said that we lean to the left only on condition that we can pull him to the right. So why isn't there any preference? I don't know why you say that. I can say that. In front of a man, there is seemingly the evil and good inclination. And if before man, the evil and good inclination are before him equally, that brings him to the feeling of free choice. Is that what you mean? So this is something else then. So these are not lines. So this is something I can't understand. How does that bring him to a free choice? How can it be that there will be a free choice if they're not equal? You might say, if they're equal, then how can I choose something? It should be either way, and get crazy and stay in the middle. If I see that one is more than the other, then there is no free choice anymore. Isn't it so? So how can there be a choice? Well, what are you looking at me like this? This is exactly my question. But I don't want to give you the answer. You tell me, what do you think? But really, isn't it so? In our world, there is no free choice because I'm always in a state of uncertainty. And that alone gives me the sensation of feeling because I don't know what would happen the next moment. So what will happen. If I would have known that there's a man or force that dictates exactly my next situation, internal, external, so it means that I'm not free. And that would have been a terrible sensation. It's a salvation that we don't feel that we are in such a situation. In spirituality, where everything is clear, everything is opened and revealed, so there's a different problem here. How can there be free choice? For us, a free choice is a fiction. This is a lie. In spirituality, if everything is open and there is none else beside him, so which free choice are we talking about? Of men? Of course not. So how can we be a free people in our land, in our desire that we will be free, that I have to resemble the Creator and be free like him, great as he is, decide, in control? Well, what do you think? Do you have an answer? If no, that's okay. The question is if there is a deficiency. If there's a deficiency in such a state, and what for? First of all, we learn in the wisdom of Kabbalah that our whole problem is to reach equivalence of form with the host. I feel that he gives. He gives me. He created a will to receive in me, and he gives me all the desires and the fulfillments, and I feel myself that he gives me everything, and I feel ashamed as a result. Then I restrict myself to be the opposite. So I have to feel that I'm free, that I act, that I bring back, that I'm equal to him, that I'm aware of all that, of course. What is spirituality? They reveal to me that I'm in a nature which clothes me from all overs, and I'm a small bag inside such a net, like a spider's net web, and I'm clothed from all over, and everything is being managed for me. And if I don't know, then I simply live. Okay, I have a feeling of life. You see what Bala Sulam says in the article, The Freedom of Choice, how much humanity have fought in order to reach freedom. Why? Because without that, I feel that I'm choked. I can't. The more evolved I am, I can be under someone's control. So you think spirituality is like that? That I discovered that I'm in a decisive nature where everything is closed down? So why did the Creator create all of that for? In order to bring us into that terrible sensation? What I reveal in spirituality is something wonderful, that to the extent that I resemble the Creator, I become free instead of Him, in His place, because the Creator is the quality of bestowal. It's not a personality standing with a stick and managing all of reality. It's the quality of bestowal. And if instead of the quality of reception, I acquire the quality of bestowal, then I become free. I don't have even such a force. Nature is controlling me because I'm instead of nature. I become nature. We will talk about it, but let's continue. For now, we have to think about it. We will talk about it more and more, and then we will come to it. Thou art my hiding place, 274. Thou art my hiding place. Thou wilt preserve me from the adversary. Thou art my hiding place. This is the Creator who hides and protects a person who is walking on the path of the Torah in the middle line. He wants to reach the quality of bestowal to the place where his soul came from to this world. And you can come back to there only in a straight light. You might deviate from here and there and return to the path, but the advancement can be only in a straight line between our lowest situation and the root of our soul from where we came from, the highest place. So what is he saying? That in that middle line, we have to take that path, and that is called the path of the Torah, the path of light, because you can walk only on condition that the light is pulling you from that place, from that source. He hides under his wings so that no one can harm him. Wings are screens, masachim, when a person hides his ego under the screens. He doesn't want to use it, and in such a way he can transcend. Question: why thou wilt preserve me from the adversary? After all, it is the same as thou art my hiding place. Answer: from above and from below. From above, a person has enemies. It is said about that, thou art my hiding place. And from below as well, this is the evil inclination. It is said about that, thou wilt preserve me from the adversary, which is an enemy above and an enemy below, as it is written, descends and incites, ascends and complains. And had it not been for the evil inclination, men would have had no enemies in the world. This is why it is written, thou shalt preserve me from the adversary about the evil inclination. In the reading of the Zohar, sometimes we have such parts which we understand. We are talking in ethics, we don't understand. Some parts speaks in the language of Kabbalah, and we know more or less the components of the spiritual systems, ten sefirot, patsufim, worlds, etc. There are parts in the Zohar where it tells us about what we know from the text of the Bible, sources, etc. The truth is, it doesn't matter whether we know the text or not, if it's familiar to us or not. We have to wait for the light that reforms. And what I hear now and how it enters my ear, the way I process it and I apprehend it and process it inside my mind, it really doesn't matter. My advancement doesn't depend on it at all. Only from my expectation, anticipation for the light that reforms, as it says, that a man is asked, did you engage in the Torah? Did you accept salvation? That's it. So we read different parts. It shouldn't change anything in us. That anticipation, that demand for a correction, this is what we should always aim ourselves to. 275. When the left line illuminated from above downward, before it was included in the right, the evil inclination was gripping onto men from above and from below. It was complaining about him from above and brought hatred upon him. And from below, it incited him to sin and to extend the left from above downward, which was the sin of the tree of knowledge. left, we talked about it. Above, there's the light of Chochmah. Below, vessels of reception. I extract seemingly to me. This is the sin of the tree of knowledge. These are all sins, basically, to extract the light of Chochmah from above and below. We have to remember, wherever he's saying that, man is using his ego and the opposite to extract from below and above. That means in order to bestow. And when the middle line came, the left and the right were included in one another and illuminated together. So the light of the right shone from above down and the left from below up. So chasadim from above and below, you can extract as much as you want. There was no restriction over them. There was no limitation, anything. Chasadim, right line, from above and below, you can extract it. You can have as much as possible. Chochmah, vessels of reception, this is on the left line. Only through rejection from below and above, this is the only way you can use it. At that time, the hatred cast over men from above was cancelled. Hatred meaning the oppositeness between us, between me and others, between me and the Creator. And the evil inclination separated from him from below. There are two things here, and we have to conclude now. So let's sing a song then. It's a good thing to stop in the middle. And as usual, we should sing because Zohar should make us unite. So usually a song of King by King David.
Thank you.